Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Hooligans. This is Mitch. Brad is here.
Hi.
The metronome was
still
there
too. I still heard the metronome.
I know. Bird.
Hello.
It's because we play it live in the studio. That's us playing.
It's a click track. Keep us on beat. So, anyway, end of season.
Season is over.
It is officially over.
For us. It continues for some teams.
Just not us.
But for St. Louis FC, the season is over.
That said, what are we going to bitch about today?
I don't know, because we had a hell of a good ending to the season.
I'm going to bitch that I wasn't there for the last game.
Well, you should have.
But other than that...
Tell Jane I'm disappointed your daughter was supposed to send me pictures of you being miserable during the wedding.
No, but you know what? A friend of hers was actually at the game with her dad.
Yeah.
And... periodically, while we were sitting there eating our dinner, my daughter would hold up a picture, and she held up a picture of, "Hey, Dad, isn't this the TIFO you drew?" I was like, "God damn it, I'm getting mocked by a 13-year-old."
Good on her, because yeah. I saw them a couple nights before when they dropped off all the Hooligan store equipment.
Yeah,
and your wife and I and your daughter all were commiserating in your misery.
Yeah, well,
sorry.
No, nobody felt sorry for Dad. I was by myself at a wedding reception watching my iPhone.
Did you get that? It's just a game speech. I got that in Buffalo when you were all in Louisville. It's just a game.
No, but she kind of gave me a little grief about not, you know, spending some time with the cousins. And I said, look, I said I'd be here. I did not say I would be engaged. So.
You know what? You were there. That's all that matters.
That's right. The groom understood. He said, you watch your game. Glad you're here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there you go. And what a game, though. I mean... First, before we go into the game itself, I want to thank the Coopers that came up. A lot of them were super cool guys, Martin and Louisville Jesus and Augustus. And there was one other guy, I don't remember his name, he was real cool. I was quite drunk at that point in time. I didn't plan
so
on being
of
that
them,
drunk.
Four of them were cool?
I didn't talk to any other ones. There was a couple that made the introductions. I just turned around and walked away.
Honestly, everybody
Dredd was super cool in person. Don't find him funny online, but he was a real cool guy in person.
Everybody I talked to from our end of the group said, you know, everybody was great from Louisville. And then I've gotten several tweets from people from Louisville that were there, you know, thanking the Hooligans for their hospitality. So I think it went well.
It went fantastic. It was a big party. And, you know, they brought 60 people to a game that ultimately doesn't matter to them.
No, yeah.
You know, it was a good showing by them. And, you know, they were the most vociferous supporters that came to our games this season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I spoke to Jordan. I spoke to Dredd. I spoke to Martin. And it was just a big party atmosphere,
I have to say. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed. Definitely Martin and Augustus, who I've been friends with online for a while now. Sorry I missed those guys. And actually, right at this very second, I'm drinking an Against the Grain Brown Note beer that, if I'm not mistaken, Augustus left for me. Is that correct, Mitch?
Yep. He said, which one does Brad like? I said, Brad loves the Browns, not Matt Brown and Jen Brown. But
I do love them.
Yes, but in terms of beers, that's what Bradley likes. So he said, all right, save these, drink it on air. I want to hear that you guys drank it on air. I'm not drinking tonight because I'm on painkillers, but they are.
I'm drinking it, Augustus, and it is wonderful beer, and thank you for leaving this for me.
Mine has gone.
Yeah, he pounded that one.
There's still a little bit left in the bottle, Matt. Here, top it off.
But, yeah, they brought a very nice selection of beers.
And this is from Against the Grain, their brewery that's right there
In
the baseball stadium that both times we've gone to Louisville, I've had...
plenty of those.
Plenty of occasion to drink several of their beers. So
it seems a happy trade-off. You play in a shit stadium, but it does have a brewery attached.
And a good brewery. It's not a shit brewery. That's a good brewery.
Yeah, I mean, they're known for their hard liquor, but that Against the Grain brewery is good stuff.
They had a Saison. Oh, my God. I'm going to completely derail any thought processes. This Saison was possibly one of the best specialty beers I've ever had in my life. It was one of the most complex flavored beers. If you want to get something different and special, this is it. It was unbelievable. Jeremy had it with us. He was impressed.
All right, we'll put that on our list for next year. Hopefully.
So when we go down, we're raiding them of that Saison thing.
I went to breakfast at Barrister's with me. There was me, Sean O'Hara showed up, and Martin French and his kid. And it was 9 o'clock. We were going to watch some of the EPL games. And I said to mine, what beer do you like? He's like, oh, I don't drink beer. I'll have a Glenmorangie, please. I'm like, holy shit, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
A what? I don't even know what that is.
It's a Scotch whiskey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy cow, dude.
And it's a good one. Don't get me wrong.
Hit it early.
Yeah, I guess when you're from that part of the world and then you move to Kentucky, it's the whiskeys all the way around.
Yeah.
But no, it was quite the party. Again, congrats to Mark and Eric for putting on an amazing tailgate. The brisket that they had there was unbelievable. So was some of the other delectable meats.
Again, not making me feel better about missing the game.
Hey, you know what? You did this to me once before, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I did. I did.
So suck it.
All right. I'll just sit over here and suck it.
Yeah. Yeah, we it was a great party. The party continued inside the stadium.
Yeah, and I do want to thank Dredd and his wife. I can't remember her name.
Jimmy.
They made us a little tifo with the Lilligan rat thing that, you know, he finds amusing. But, you know, with our little bags packed, heading over to the Western Conference. So it's in the trunk of my car. When I go to away games, I shall fly it at away games. And when they watch us on YouTube, hoping that we lose, they'll see the tifo that they made for us.
Yeah, that's a good respect.
Yeah.
So we get in and. But actually, before we even get in, speaking of parties, I'd like to say my favorite morning drink is Madrinas. And it's not Red Bull, because DJ Sucks a Lot that showed up with his mobile truck and started playing dance music.
Party on wheels.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. That truck is freaking cool. I mean, that thing was awesome.
We should have patched our iPod into it.
Yeah. Yeah, Marcus Weirs made a beeline right over to him and just was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. I texted Jeremy, Kevin came down, and Kevin basically said, pack up your shit and get the fuck out.
There we go.
And
Kevin apologized to me, and I'm like, I don't know what you are talking about. Yeah. I just can't.
Evidently, this guy showed up late. He didn't go
Went
where
to
he
the
was
wrong
supposed
tailgate
to go.
Party.
Yeah.
Was he supposed to go to that tailgate party they were charging admission
no,
for?
No, he was supposed to go like the Blue Banner Family Fun
the
Zone.
Blue Chip
thing. He was supposed to go over there, and he obviously saw the Lulligans and went, that's where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Look at them guys. And he went,
we don't need you.
Yeah. Well, we got our own DJ.
Well, you know, Kevin.
His name's Matt Brown.
Well, Kevin said, he said, basically, we're under instructions just to basically leave you alone. You know, we don't need, you know, trucks full of speakers going over there and blasting you to Timbuktu.
And but again, it made for some entertainment, and we marched in, and we had a little ceremony at the beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We gave Player of the Year award.
Oh, yeah. Who won that?
Sam Fink.
Sam Fink.
I was going to make a joke. I was going to make some Nicholas or some Claude and Elka joke, but
Alex Titan.
Yeah, there you go, Alex Titan. That would have been a good one.
No,
I'm
think.
Not sharp.
I mean, we have a lot of players that have a lot of love on this team. A lot of guys go out of their way to, ingratiate themselves to the fans and work hard out there. But Sam Fink. He hasn't missed a single minute all season.
When I saw that, that's where I was just like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Just, I mean.
Considering I didn't even think he was going to be a starter.
Right.
It's wild.
Yeah. And rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. He has not played. This was his first pro season. So to come in and just command that backfield the way he did, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think when we were voting and we were discussing some of the other candidates, you know, you could make a push for a guy here or a push for a guy there, but Fink just ticked all the boxes for me. I mean, and it's things like him coming over to the corner in between, you know, like a corner kick or a free kick and, you know, getting the Lulligans up. I mean, he just sort of embraced us right away and, you know, it was mutual. I mean, and he's a damn good player. I mean, it's not just that he was okay out there for all the minutes. He was.
He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Always will make time to speak to anyone. There's no way he hasn't graced
him. I think, you know, honestly, the only thing against him, you know, that I was maybe not sure about voting for him.
That he doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink beer. I mean, it seemed odd to have a Lulligan player of the year that is anti-alcohol. But
and that is why I voted for Parker Mount.
But no, Sam, you know, great player all season.
He was the runaway winner. Oh, I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah. And it's a shame because everybody else, you can make a case for probably 10 guys.
I think everybody had a second guy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our second guys were different for different reasons. But Fink was always on everybody's list.
Well, my second guy was Matt Fondy. I voted for him.
Yeah. He was a hell of a player this year.
Yeah. Wish he played in blue fading out of gray.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to mention anybody else, but, I mean, literally every other player had at least one vote. So.
And it wasn't just us. I mean, you look at the USL player thing that they're doing. That was Sam Fink.
The fact that he won it for all the fans from St. Louis, I think, kind of gives you an indication of how popular he is as a player.
One little entertaining moment from Saturday is that I'm standing there working the Prius turned Mini Cooper, and Mama Fink comes down, and she's got a relative with her. I forget. I think she said sister. I'm kind of drinky at that point in time. And, you know, I said, well, you know, Sam's going to be player of the year. And she goes, that's so great. You know, she was so excited. And I'm like, you know, pulled out the plaque, and she goes, well, I'm like, let's get a picture with you in it. She goes, yeah, I need to, so I can show him what I knew before.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I think Jeremy was going to tell him before the game, so, you know, was ready for it and stuff like that. She goes, well, I'm going to tell him.
I tweeted her earlier in the week to bring her camera.
Yeah.
I said, no spoilers, but we're giving away the Lulligan Player of the Year. You should bring your camera. Now, she didn't necessarily know that Sam was going to win. I mean, she likes a lot of the guys on the team. Thought maybe she just wanted to get her picture with whoever won.
Yeah, she's a big CSLka fan.
She is. She really is. Yeah. So.
But no, she was quite into it and quite appreciative, and I thought that was pretty awesome that, you know, the parents of the players, we had a lot of parents of the players come up throughout the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, they're all part of us. It was a good day. And then the game started. I mean, that was the thing. It was a great day before the game started. We could have had no game, and it would have been a great day.
I was still concerned we were going to get beat. I mean,
Louisville,
they've been on a bit of a slump.
I thought they were going to come out a little stronger, trying to break that pattern before going into the play. And they scored immediately, right. I thought, oh, shit, here we go.
I did. But I don't know what it is about us going to goal down and then, you know, starting to play. But we just kept doing our thing. I mean, we didn't seem fazed by the goal. We just kept doing our thing.
I think the last three games, they've kept their composure. They haven't, you know, forced anything. They haven't, I don't know. They've looked like a different team the last three games. And to your point, you know, we've been talking about Dale. And for me, I think he's sort of proved in the last three games that, you know, he's got a plan. And if they buy in, it can work. Not saying there still don't need to be changes made, but I'm more comfortable with Dale now than I was three games ago.
What I was impressed with in the three home games that we won was that they were totally different wins. One was a euphoric come from two goals down to win in the last minute against Charleston. And then the Charlotte win, we just dominated the game. From start to finish. It was probably the first game in all season that we have controlled for a full 90 minutes.
Yeah. Against a team who was, I mean, you can say Louisville maybe didn't put out their A game because they had already secured, but Charlotte was fighting for a playoff spot.
Yes, they were.
And we stopped them.
And, yeah, that gave me a lot of satisfaction, I'll be honest with you.
I listened to their latest podcast, and they're not big fans of Matt Bird, but...
You know, live by the sword, die by the sword. If they'd have beat us, I'd have had to have turned my phone off because they'd have had every right to give me as much grief as they could have thrown at me, and I'd have had to take it.
Right.
You know, I did the cardinal sin. I actually opened my mouth before the 3 points was in our pocket.
Yeah.
But I was pretty confident going in. I mean, my friend Calvin, he's a member of Jack's militia down there, and I've watched a lot of Charlotte games because of my friendship with him. And to be honest, I wanted them to do quite well. But I'd watched enough of their games to know, you know what? I think they're in a false position. I think we can do them. And we did. And I was never really in any doubt.
And I do think it also helped, too, that we are just kind of getting that momentum going, too, as well. That it's when you have that, as you said, false position going up against a team that's finally getting their feet underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sucks that it took 12 games to get to that point. But yeah. But, you know, when you have the ball dropping in the right place and good things happening due to the hard work instead of it going out of bounds or what have you, I think a lot of that makes a huge difference, too.
It was frustrating to me because I think we're a better team than Charlotte. I mean, I think we are. But the fact of the matter is they've got points off Rochester, Richmond, Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, Charleston, and we hadn't, you know, and we... They got 6 points off Montreal. We hadn't. And that's why they were playing for a postseason and we were floundering around. And as you say, you just wish you'd had that breakout game against Charleston 2 months ago.
Right.
It would have made a world of difference.
But ifs and buts, candy and nuts, you know, such is life.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I'm not, you know, I'm not standing here today saying we're a great team. No, we're still, you know, our record is indicative of the kind of team we are. I think we ended on a high note, and we can take a little bit from that. But, I mean, it's not like, oh, if we started the season over, we'd be in the playoffs. You know, we're still not a great team.
I think I'm a lot more euphoric ending the way we had. And
if we'd have ended on 3 straight losses, then I would have said, you know, look,
something's got to give.
Right.
But, you know, we were talking before of maybe having 5 new players in the squad for next year. Like, let's throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now you're kind of looking, going, you know what, maybe only 2.
We don't need a
wholesale changes.
Right. I mean, some surgical edits here and there.
And there are some that even with the guys that we have that did well, you can always improve upon. And that's not a slight against the guys that you have. It's just if there's an opportunity to upgrade at any position, you're going to take it, save probably goalkeeper, because the 3 we had this year were...
Yeah, how about Riggs coming up, you know, hadn't played a game, you know, and... We didn't miss a beat.
Not at all.
He was the best goalie we never knew we had all season.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's true.
I mean, our player of the match went to Hardware, which I have no complaints with, and the Pleat Steam player was Bryce. Right. Again, no complaints with. But when after the game was over, I was like, God damn, Riggs was a stud out there. He saved us.
Absolutely.
So,
but he's no scrub. I mean, he was on the Columbus Crew, right, for a while.
And he was picked up by the Wizards when they needed a backup for the Open Cup. I mean, no, he's not a scrub at all, but it's like...
It gives you a little faith next year, knowing that we've got Pace and Riggs, who are standout guys, that you can go into the season going, that position sorted.
Yep. Right. Yep.
Or if one goes down, we're fine.
And we, you know, if we have a fixture backlog like we had at the, you know, around April and May with the Open Cup and everything, we're going to need 2 solid keepers.
I mean, before Pace got hurt, we really did use an alternating goalkeeper well with Pace and Khan and Cam, sorry. And yeah, I never felt bad one way or the other, whoever was starting. Now you add Riggs into that rotation where I wouldn't hesitate for a minute to have him as a starter.
I mean, with Cannon Pace, it was the pun totally intended, left foot and right foot.
Yeah.
I mean, there was really no difference in our game other than which foot the goalie kicked with.
And I think the players were equally comfortable with either one of them behind him, and I think they treated Riggs just like, you
know. One of those two.
Yeah, they trusted him back there, and he trusted them, and everything went fine.
I mean, they've trained with him all year. I mean, right, they know. And it's also, I've got to say, it's testament to Brian Jones, you know, the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
coach.
He's done good.
He's
done
a stellar job with these lads.
But then again, he has that reputation. I mean, there's a reason that they did that well. He's top notch.
Yeah.
And he's also the guy that got John Burner out the changing room for me to take that photograph. So, you know.
Oh, that was good. Yeah. That was top troll.
But also at this point, I mean, we just talked about Alec Khan, and, you know, thank you to those guys, the Chicago guys that came down. I mean,
all of them took it seriously. All of them put their heads down and did work. I mean,
they all gave 100%, and that's, you know, everything you can ask
of them.
You
could see a guy maybe being a little sour grapes that he was, you know, loaned out from the main team. But, I mean, whether it was Cochran, he came down for a few spells and spotted. Mm-hmm. I mean, duty all season long was our starter, and... And he's been called up, and, you know, God love him. You know, we're all behind him 100%, even though we kind of wish he was with us. That's a guy you applaud. Khan, obviously, you know, half the season was his, if not more than half the season after, I don't know when exactly Pace went down. And then Bryce, you know, didn't get as much playing time, but he's made the most of his time here. I mean,
sure, made it on Saturday.
Two goals, 2 winning goals. I mean, thank you very much, Kingsley.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen next year if we'll renew our, you know, the fire today got rid of Gallup and they brought in a new GM and they're looking for a new coach. And
Funniest thing I remember Kingsley Bryce for was that in the Montreal game, I was on the other side of the stadium in the second half when we were up against it. And he got injured, but he got injured out of bounds behind the goal line. And he's rolling about with his arm up. He's like, ref, ref. I'm like, Kingsley, you're out of bounds, mate. They're not going to stop the game. And he looked at me. He, like, opened one eye and went, oh. and then he rolled back on the pitch. I'm like, you player.
Yeah.
He rolled back on the pitch and they put his hand up.
Oh, that's one of those things you got to learn when you're a pro. Yeah. You know, make sure you're in bounds when you're on the ground.
So, I am, you know, the Chicago guys that came down, thank you so much. Thanks for making St. Louis your home. I mean, they didn't just...
Yeah, none of them...
They weren't just players here. They integrated themselves here. And
even Cochran, who he didn't spend as much time here as the other guys. I mean, the other guys were kind of in it for a while. Mm-hmm. Cochran embraced the times he had down here. And
played three games, won two of them.
Yeah.
You know,
and didn't look at it as a punishment or didn't... You know, he made the most of his opportunities. So...
So yeah, and then the all the results went against Charlotte in the week, and then they went and shit the bed in Charleston.
And you know, I mean, I know you had some fun with their fans this week.
It was one way traffic. Apparently, they didn't appreciate it.
But here's what I'll say: we've given Charlotte some grief this year about the whole built for MLS and stuff. I in no way mean to discourage or disparage the fans that actually do come out and support Charlotte. Those guys are great. Jack's Militia, give them hell. The Queen City Royals, I think, is the other one. You know, you guys are doing a great job. Your front office is the one that's selling you a bill of goods. And until they get their shit straightened out, you know, you guys are pulling the majority of the work. And it's hard to do that. Good for you for keeping it up. Good for you for being there and supporting your team through thick and thin.
But you also can give me grief back. I have broad shoulders, guys.
Yeah, we give Bird as much shit as anybody. So, but no, all credit to Jack's Militia and to those guys who come out and support that team, because I know you've had a hard season, and
I really have with the three stadium and
Crown Town podcast today. They were having some fun with it. They're going to do their season end awards, and one of them is, what's your favorite home stadium for, you know,
you have to have some fun with it.
And you deserve better as fans. You know, we've got a pretty good situation off the field.
Makes you appreciate what you've got, really, doesn't it? Holy cow.
So, I mean, yeah, when we're giving you shit, it's banter. Give it back.
You can give it back.
Look at our record. Goddamn, there's enough for you guys to just unload on us. So feel free. We can take it.
We've been taking it for quite some time from everybody. Why not?
I made that point to the Louisville fans. I said, you know, guys, if the roles were reversed, I'd have given you so much more grief than you've ever given us.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
well, you're an asshole. Part of it.
But honestly, Louisville, no matter what banter has started, whether I find it funny or not, all they got to do is say scoreboard.
Yeah.
You know, look at that league table. And that shuts me right up.
Well, because you don't have anything to say.
I can make fun of your baseball field, but you're in the playoffs with that baseball field. Yeah, so
they're playing in October.
And they've got, you know, home field advantage on everybody but Rochester, I think. So if Rochester gets knocked out, Louisville could be hosting the USL Championship.
No, they can't.
Did OC
they
Blues
had,
pass them?
They had to beat us to ensure that they would have had the final.
Okay,
They had to beat us. I mean, there was something on the line on Saturday.
Yeah, so it wasn't.
It wasn't complete and utter dead rubber, but I also have to think that USL really didn't fancy the idea of their championship game.
It depends on where it is, though. I mean, Rochester's got a fine stadium and they'll, you know, put some cardboard people cutouts to make it look like it's full.
Yeah.
Because even though they say they're averaging 5,000,
you know what? That was something I spoke to Jordan Cooper about, because we both made that point. They are so Brian Rothing the attendance.
They have to be. Because, I mean, it looked friggin' empty when we played there.
There must be like 4,000 people on the camera side.
I mean, I know it holds 13,000. So you're going to have to make a dent to make it look full. But it looked like
thing is that when you can count the individual people in a section.
Right.
That's not.
Unless it's like, I mean, truly FC Dallas, the way that stadium's set up. The sun side is where the camera points, and that whole shaded side fills in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they finally fixed that because MLS said, dude, you got to put the camera on the other side because it looks like there's nobody at your park. But anyway.
But the anyway,
Donkey Show.
Going back to the Charlotte game, it was a really good victory. The first time this year that we controlled a game from start to finish. And I was really pleased for Jacob for his goal because, my goodness, he's deserved something all season.
He is one of those guys that's always, when we're doing, you know, we're running around at the last 5 minutes of the game trying to decide who the consensus player of the game is, and it's very scientific. It's usually Julia running around having grown men who are drunk yelling names at her, and then after 5 minutes she goes, I think it's Fink,
yeah.
And we go, good enough. But, I mean, Bushu has always been one of those guys, I mean, kind of like Parker,
yeah.
Who it's always a name that's brought up.
But never,
you know, somebody scores a goal late or somebody does something that gets everybody into it. You know, he's one of those guys that I was glad he finally got a man of the match. Same with Hardware. Hardware's been great all year. I think that was his first man of the match bucket, wasn't it?
Maybe a second.
I don't know. But there's a lot of guys who, I mean, I remember having the discussion several times. It's like, give it to him because this has been a great game and he may not get another chance at
but
it.
Also,
you know,
there was also guys that you wanted to give a bucket to, a man of the match to, but you didn't want to give it to them after a loss.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want them to be embarrassed. Like, I remember we lost against Toronto and Doody got the bucket and he was embarrassed. And we're like, we can't do that again. You know, so, I mean, we you know, that was a try.
Skipping away from the pod, but Bibbs won it and didn't take it.
Yeah.
Because he did. It was after a loss and he didn't want
to,
you know.
And, yeah. And that's a trial and error thing that we've had to.
But there's a difference. You can earn it in a loss, in a good loss. If it's a bad loss,
yeah,
I don't blame you for not wanting to take it, but that's on them. That's not on, you know, not to be a dick about it, but, you know, if that's on you and your team.
I'd be embarrassed.
Oh, I would too. There was plenty of these games where I was embarrassed and I wasn't on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the game. I just prefer to not have any more of those happen.
Well, you know, in this podcast, we don't have to talk about losses because, as I say, then Louisville came to town and they started off like a train and we just did our thing. You know, we just played our game and, you know, as soon as Hardware got the ball, he was dribbling.
Oh, my God.
You know, the kid's got magic feet.
Love that kid.
And I love watching him on
You Instagram. Said we were going to sign him before he even signed for us. You kind of knew.
I liked him and I knew he had a little Missouri connection because he played college here, but I liked him at the end of last year when I really first started watching USL, when I knew we'd have a team, and I thought he could help us, and I think he's been great.
And he's fearless. That's one of the things I love about him. He'll take it to anybody. He does not care. And he even says it on Instagram a handful of times. You know, I'm not going down. It's like no, he's not. He's balls out every time.
Well, and when he doesn't make it through, he makes something happen. You know, he's drawn penalties for us. He's in the box. He's causing chaos. People collapse it on him. Offensively, I think he's been our best player.
Oh, without a doubt. And it was just a shame that his season was derailed with the hamstring injury he got after Oklahoma City. And then as soon as he came back from that, broke his hand. And he... You know, there's nothing worse for a defender than a guy running at you with pace.
Yeah.
And
confidence.
And confidence. And I think the hand injury took playing with that cast kind of, you know.
You lose some confidence.
I think it kind of knocked him for a bit. But, I mean, since the Montreal game when he scored at home against Montreal, he's been on it. He scored at Montreal. He scored against Charleston. He made the penalty against Charleston at home and you know, scored again against Louisville. The kid's been on it for 2 months now.
Yeah,
and like I said too, you know, watching the highlights, you knew he was going to do something, and that was the great thing about watching the highlights of the game today. I didn't get to watch the full thing, but you watched the game and you had the same feeling we kind of did in the stands where it's like, okay, we're in this.
You know,
it's on.
It reminded me of earlier in the season, and I'm thinking specifically of the away game at Louisville when we were there. You weren't there, were you, Bert?
I didn't go anywhere.
Just giving you shit. You know, when Rankin came on and you had that feeling Rankin was going to do something like that,
yes.
The last several games with Hardware, when he got the ball, you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, pay attention. Something's going to happen here. And, yeah, he's got that little bit of magic about him right now. So That's great.
It's too bad the season.
Too bad the season's over.
Oh, but it's nice to know he's got a 2-year contract.
Yeah. Well, but and but I'm also thinking, you know, you said, you know, we haven't lost in 3 games. You know, what are we going to bitch about? You know, I do feel bad for Louisville. You know, going into the playoffs, they've had such a great season, but they're going into the playoffs on a 3-game skid. Mm-hmm. That's got to be.
I don't think sorry for them is the phrase.
Well, no, but they've got to be concerned now. You know. You want to hit the playoffs in
running.
An upswing,
yep.
And they're kind of on a downswing. Now, they still have a great team. They've still got Fondy. They've still got a high-powered offense, and Goodwin's still a great keeper. But that's got to be concerning to them going into the playoffs.
Especially when you look at a team like New York Red Bull that are just hitting their stride right now.
Right.
You know, they're our team going into the playoffs hot. I still think if they get Dakers back, that three-prong attack of Dakers, Fondy, and Rasmussen.
And Burke serving the balls in.
That'll serve them well. They were a scary offense all year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All year, so I just have the world's smallest violin for them.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I don't wish them ill.
No.
But, I mean, yeah, all things considered, it would break my heart a little more if they did win the championship than if, you know, one of the old teams won it. That's my perspective.
As long as a 2 doesn't win
it. I don't want a 2 to win it, and if I had my preference, I would rather have an old established team win it, a Rochester or Richmond, you know, one of the older teams. Yeah, 2 team, I think if it was LA 2 versus Louisville, I might root for Louisville just because I don't want a 2 team to win it.
I think the way the season started – and Toronto, New York, and Montreal were all at the bottom of the league for maybe the first 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, didn't think it would be an issue.
You kind of thought they were treating the league like a joke, and kind of actually glad that they've turned it around. And
for the stability of the league,
correct?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They're kind of taking it seriously. Yeah. They were like, hey, and even Real Monarchs in the West, you know, they've
turned it up actually. They have support too.
They were terrible, but then they were like,
they were phoning it in early in the season.
We're getting embarrassed, and then they've realized that to pull the fingers out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, they've got support too. I mean, you want to at least see these 2s have some level of support.
Yeah, the Montreal having 100 people there.
I would.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
And that's it too. I mean, having had the Saturday night we had, getting to know these guys better, you know, that we've poked with sticks for the last 6 months. If I'd rather a team with fans won it all than a, you know, an empty stadium.
What I'm really hoping for is now you've got Rio Grande coming in next year, which is Houston's team, but it's not in Houston.
Correct. Yeah.
And you've got Bethlehem Steel or Lehigh Valley, whatever they're going to name that team, which is not in Philadelphia, but it's Philadelphia's farm team.
It's like Allentown area.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping those kind of places are successes as far as attendance-wise goes. And, you know, maybe Montreal will move their M2 team to Quebec City.
Yeah.
Or something similar.
Or, you know, Portland might move their Portland 2 to Eugene, Oregon. Or, you know what I mean?
Keep it in the
region, because you still want those fans to be fans of your MLS team. But
there's no reason that Toronto 2 don't play in Windsor,
right.
St. Catharines. Or
maybe someplace, maybe those people can't get to a Toronto 1 game quite as easily, but they're still in your market.
Yeah.
And give those guys a little, you know, that'll be their team. So that would be ideal for me, rather than seeing them play for 100 people in, you know, Rio Tinto Stadium.
I mean, close enough where you can still train together, but then on match day, you know, it makes total sense, because the playing in front of one man and his dog is not doing anyone any favors.
No, I mean, you want to get these guys some professional experience, and part of that is a crowd, part of that is passionate fans that care whether you win or lose. And you're not going to get that in the main market, I don't think.
At that point, you're a scrub. You're the bottom of the barrel PDL team,
right?
Because college teams get better draw.
Well,
than
we've
that.
Talked about it. We can't go to all the soccer games we want to. I couldn't go to the Lions games this year. I couldn't go to. I mean, I could have, but I didn't have the. When I had a weekend off, I wanted a weekend off. You know,
but
imagine if it was the MLS team
and the 2 team.
And the 2 team. How often would you get out to see the 2 team?
You wouldn't.
Bird would, because he hates MLS and he goes support the lower league team. But you know what I'm saying? I think it would be better for everyone if they're close but not too close.
I think Jeremy was also right. You're being sent somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, there is that where, you know.
If you're changing in the same locker room, but you're on the JV squad, that's different than being, well, you're varsity, but you're varsity in a different city, you know.
It's a strange dynamic, and I look at the Sounders too, and the
whole earn your crest thing.
Oh, that still bothers me.
Yeah, yeah, but they're getting the most hipster fans for the two games.
Well, and you could make an argument for at least Seattle and Portland because they do sell out their main games.
Yeah,
and there is sort of that hipster mentality in those cities. Where you could sell the two team as an alternative, but I think even they, you know, move the Seattle team to Tacoma or Olympia or, you know, somewhere outside of Seattle, and Portland the same thing. I think it would just be better for everybody.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. That's what I'd do.
And I hope the Rio Grande and the Pennsylvania, whatever they call it, Bethlehem Steel, mm-hmm. or I hope those are big successes and more MLS teams look at that and see how it's, you know, how that could help them.
Right. And you almost have to think that is the plan. Yeah. I would be hard pressed to think that's not the designation of, hey, if you're going to do this, let's do it right.
Right. And speaking of new teams, Reno was announced this week.
2017.
Not for next year, but the next year. But they are playing in a minor league baseball stadium. It makes sense. It's like the Tulsa situation where the Tulsa owner owns it. So it's not like Louisville where they're going to be renting and getting the shit beat out of them on rental fees. But we are playing in a baseball stadium. I know the league wants to get away from that, but
if last year, the owner or the GM would have come up to you and said, "Hey, St. Louis is getting a team, but we're going to be playing at the River City Rascals." It would have been just as delighted.
Oh, no, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But if USL is making this big pitch that they want to be in soccer-specific stadiums by 2020, and that's part of the deal with moving up to D2, I'm surprised at least they're not saying, we're going to start in the Aces baseball stadium with a plan to build. You know, I mean, both Lehigh Stadium and down in Rio Grande, they've got big drawings of the places they're going to play, which I think is...
Oh, is Lehigh Valley going to play in the War Pig Stadium, I guess?
I don't know where they're going to play, but they're I think they're refurbishing an older
Didn't
stadium.
Lehigh Valley's... Didn't they have the bacon?
Yeah, I've got the hat upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the War Pigs, yeah.
But I think they're refurbishing an older stadium to make it whatever. But I don't know. I would like to at least say... Because, like, Louisville knows they're not going to be at Slugger forever.
Correct.
They've got to get out financially, but they've built up enough of an audience now where they deserve
a stadium. It's justifiable.
You know, I wish the Aces would say, well, we're going to start here, but our goal is by 2020 to be in a soccer-specific stadium or something.
It's a lot of desert. I just throw up a stadium.
Yeah, exactly. But I digress.
Can the stadium be called Area 52?
That would be pretty fresh. I would buy a shirt.
That should be the supporters group, actually.
Well,
if the sports group isn't called the Donner Party, then they're doing it wrong.
I still say the Lieutenant Dangle.
Well, that was what I was going to say. I was listening to Crown Town's podcast today, and they were talking about how minor league baseball teams are the best, and what it comes to having a crazy jersey for whatever night. He said, you know, they own a minor league baseball team out there. They got to do a Reno 911 one-off jersey.
Oh, they have to.
Just the little cop with the, you know, short shorts. And I mean, and the Crown Town guys would be like, I'd buy one of those jerseys. I'd buy one of those jerseys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be on eBay contributing to their charity trying to get a Lieutenant Dangle game-worn kit.
That's awesome, though. I mean, and that's, again, it's fun. This is the fun that we get to have.
It's been best summer since I moved to America.
And it was funny because Liz at one point in time grabbed me during the chanting and stuff like that, and she goes, and I forget how she did it, and she screamed it, so take your hearing as you will at that point in time, but it was, I never want to go to MLS.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who with that sentiment.
We're having a ball.
I mean, the team loves us. we love the team.
It's good,
it's
soccer.
Good soccer. It's good setup. It's a good environment. It's everything we wanted.
Yeah.
It is. It really is everything, minus a few more wins.
Well, yeah.
and a clock, Mr. Strunk.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen. I have no doubt.
I don't have any doubt about that. But, I mean, there's a reason people go watch Rochdale and Bury instead of Manchester City.
Absolutely.
And they're just as emotionally invested in their teams as United fans, as City fans.
And, you know, reason number, 76, play like a champion. Our season tickets are coming out, and $150.
Yeah.
You know, what would it be in MLS? At least $400 for the supporter section, probably.
Probably.
So.
And not counting the other accoutrements that they're going to force upon you.
Right. And I mean, I know.
And I don't think, once you take away the DPs, I don't think on a base level they're that much better. They are better, but not that much better. Not $250 a year better.
No, some of these guys could very easily move up, and some of the guys in MLS could very easily move down,
Look at Duty. I mean, Duty can step in and play on an MLS team just as easily as he played on our team.
I mean, if Barklage wasn't injury prone, he'd probably still be in MLS.
Yep.
You know, Fondi's a tweener, maybe. You know, maybe not quite good enough to be a starter in MLS, but maybe too good to be a starter here. You know,
well, I think also MLS now is getting—it's got the English problem where they don't trust their homegrown players.
Bringing in foreigners, right.
They're bringing in these guys that you know.
Well, and they're bringing in names to sell tickets,
correct,
more than looking at talent in some cases.
Drogba's here to sell tickets.
Yeah, but his opening game, he scores a hat trick. Yeah. Kind of hard to argue with that.
I know. That's a spot that Fondi could be playing in.
And you don't know if he'd do it because he's probably never really given a chance.
Well, and here's the other thing. Fondi might be making more in USL than he would as a, backup in MLS.
I have to think that's one of the reasons Brandon Barklage came to
there
us.
Are definitely specific, salary cap rules and, minimums and maximums that players can get paid.
And that's one of my big things about this league is that there are players. They're not contracted to some league office in New York. There are players.
Yeah.
And if Tom and Jim want to go out and buy a lights out guy for $300,000 a year, they can absolutely go do that.
Yeah, Freddie Adu.
He can turn out the lights when he's done sweeping.
No, I kid Freddie. I wish the best for Freddie, but
Freddie ain't going to turn out for $300,000 a year. He's got bills to pay.
That's true.
He's got an agent telling him he's worth at least $1 million a year.
Yeah. in the words of Patrick Ewing during the NBA strike, sure, we may make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money. So do I. Does my wife.
We'll make sure that we let Citibank and Bank of America know these things.
All right. Let's move away from the pitch for just a second. We had a pretty successful story of our own towards the end of the season. The last month or so, we've been in a charity fundraiser campaign with the Coopers. I guess I should mention, not just the Coopers. We've got Derby
Heritage.
City Ultras. We got Cornbread Ultras. We got
the Kentucky Heathens.
There's like 72 of them.
The Royal Riot. The
Purple Dirples.
The Cardinal Crew. Purple Kingdom. There's a lot.
Dude, it's like inchworms. You just cut them and they split off, and then it's two.
Yeah, if you pay for membership in each and every one of those supporters groups, well, you could buy an extra season ticket. Maybe two. Maybe they should donate their supporters' dues to the team so they can actually make some money, since they're losing money every home game. I kid.
It's fun.
I kid because I love. But no, we
had. You loved my kidding.
I loved a kid. We had a little Pizzagate fundraiser.
It still astounds me how well this went.
It's absurd.
Blows me.
It's crazy.
I mean, their number is incredibly awesome.
They raised close to $3,500. I think I would have been thrilled if we would have raised
that
right.
was
much.
We were hoping for $1,000 to $2,000.
When we first did it, I said, if we could hit $1,000, that'd be cool. We had $1,000 in like the first day.
And it's
first
like, well,
day or
you know
two.
What? Okay, everybody blew their load. Let's see if we can hit two or three. Three would be incredible. Three would be top notch.
Yep. would have been.
Add a 10 to that.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, we raised $13,310.
That's insane.
Every dollar equals four meals through the St. Louis Area Food Bank, who we're donating this to. So we're up over 50,000, 55,000 meals, something crazy like that.
It's mental. It's just mental.
GoFundMe does take a little bit off the top for fees and stuff, and I understand that. They hosted the whole thing for us, but even still, we've got a huge donation to make to the St. Louis Food Bank, and I just want to name some of the people here. If you donated $250 or more, that's what we call the podcast host level. So we'll come and do a podcast either from your location or some location you suggest. Top of that list, St. Louis FC. Between Tom giving some anonymous donations, I won't call him out, tell him how much he gave, but...
he gave a house payment.
He gave a house payment. And then Jim, this last week...
Dropped a bomb, didn't he?
You know, in the back of my mind, I thought, Jim will give something before it's over. But I had no idea. He dropped $5,000 into the account, and it was
stunning.
Bill Hezel sent me a message, like an email message, said, "Well, shit, my donation really didn't seem like much," and I was like, "What are you talking about?" So I popped open the page and was like, "You gave $25. That's cool." And then I looked at the total. I'm like, "What the fuck?" And then right below him was Jim Cavanaugh, Tom Strunk, and Worldwide Technologies had donated $5,000. So,
I mean, again,
these are owners who care, not just about the team, not just about the fans, but about their community. I mean, if this would have been for, you know, Brad's back surgery, I don't think Tom would have dropped $5,000.
It's but, still an option.
But they gave to not only support us and the charity that we were trying to do, but, I mean, they're a part of the St. Louis community.
Correct.
And we joked about it, you know, Tom and Jim would never, you know, announce in a stadium negotiation that, well, I could move the team. I mean, they could sell the team, but they're not going to move. I mean, they're St. Louis guys.
And not only that, but they're making it a better place. I mean, you know, it's like we...
They're soccer fans. I mean, they both played soccer. I mean, both played professionally.
Yeah.
Indoor, but... You know, I'm not making an indoor outdoor argument, but they're soccer fans, they're soccer players, and I mean, I'm blown away by what they donated to the campaign.
So, as incredible as that is, though, and again, $5,000, that's a ridiculous amount. The amount of other sponsors that came out.
Yeah, let me finish my list here. These are the people that gave 250 or more. ITAP, they did their kegs for a cause.
$627.
We raised $627.
We raised $627 because we're alcoholics.
Yes.
That is a great statistic. If anybody ever complains about our drinking, that number right there.
Yeah. People are eating because we drank.
That's right. the Washington Tattoo Collective, I don't have the number down, but they gave more than the 250. I think it was 300. Your Electric, Mark Gardner, our normal podcast host who sponsors every podcast, including this one, Your Electric. If you have any electrical needs, you call Your Electric. He gave another 300. Second Shift, our brewery that makes Brewligans, they donated 250. Dobbs Tire, I can't remember what they gave. It was a big donation too.
It was good.
Mission Taco came through. Which Mission Taco is connected to ITAP, so whenever we're at ITAP, we're also at Mission Taco. And finally, Hair Salon for Men. They gave a donation, but then on top of that, they did the haircuts for a cause at the Charlotte game. Several people were out there getting haircuts and gave another over $100 to the cause for
The haircuts.
So those are our big podcast hosts. We will be contacting them and setting up either doing a podcast at their location or someplace they want us to do the location.
Like Bali or something?
Yeah.
Fiji.
We will travel.
We're not opposed.
And then we also have our $100 givers, and these people all have earned a spot on the podcast. They can come on, and we said they can talk about anything but Chelsea. So we look forward to having Kyle Scarborough, owner of Washington Tattoo Company. He gave an additional donation just from him. Adam and Ann Duke, they donated $100. Jeremy Allenbaugh, I don't know if you know that name, which he was probably going to be a podcast guest anyway, so yeah. Kind of cool that he gave us $100 just to, you know, give us $100.
To be fair, though, I think
he just wants another cap to piss Petcher off.
Well, we're going
to
get there. We're going to get there because Steve Petcher also gave $100. If we're not going to invite him on again, by God, he'll buy his way on. Petcher wants another cap, so we will be more than happy to talk to Mr. Steve Petcher again. Marcus Weirs donated $100. He's usually holding fort with Mark and Eric doing the tailgate stuff. So those of you who don't know Marcus, you will get to know a little bit more about him. Jason McAdams, one of the finest dancing capos we've ever seen.
He was in
full flow,
full majesty.
Jason also writes for Gateway Goalpost and is an occasional contributor to Reckless Challenge. So we'll have stuff to talk to him about. The characters, both Michelle and Claude, together gave $100, so we'll let them come on and be a pairs. And again, Keith and Liz were also a pair. So Keith has said he's going to talk about Final Fantasy or, you know, Zelda or some Mario thing. You can talk about whatever you want. You know, I may not have any follow-up questions, but
we may just leave for that 15 minutes.
Yeah,
but
who knows?
You know, hey.
Adam Breeze, his law firm, gave $100, so he's going to be coming on. Chris Woody Wertel, he will be on. Duncan Cooper, I don't know Duncan, but Duncan was actually the $100 to put us over 50,000 meals.
Wow.
So
okay.
That alone is pretty awesome.
I was kind of doing a little countdown there, and he just tweeted me $0. So he got us to 50,000 meals, so we'll talk to him about that. Shannon, what's Shannon's last name? I'm blanking.
Shannon.
It's just Shannon.
Yeah.
You know Shannon. Shannon will be on. I'm totally blanking on what her last name is. I didn't write it down because I knew it. Anyway, Patrick Berry. This is a good one.
Shannon Mueller.
Yeah, Shannon Mueller.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
I'm just laughing the whole time. It's like, it's Shannon. It's, she's like Madonna.
You know, it's the
Gaga.
Shannon.
It's Shannon.
Patrick Berry, the president of St. Louis FC, we talked about having him on many times, but he gave $100, and we can talk to him about what his role with the club is. That would be interesting.
That's a good way to buy it.
I just spoke to Pat on KTRS on Friday. He's a good interview. He is a good interview.
We got Matt House to come on. He just had a baby, and one of our favorite...
He's just going
to
take his 15 minutes just to get some sleep.
That might be. One of our favorite junior capos was Will. Will dancing around on Liz's shoulder, so maybe we can get him to bring Will in with him and talk to us.
How about Will just talks?
That'd be cool.
I'd be good with that.
Malia, always good for a donation when there's charity involved. She came in, was one of the people to help push us over 50,000 meals. And finally, Pleat Steam is the sponsors of the Man of the Match. Their owner gave us $100, so if I just called your name, we'll be getting in touch with you and scheduling a podcast with you for your 15 minutes of, I would call it fame, but it's not really fame.
Yeah. Infamy?
Infamy.
Yeah, we'll go with infamy. This ain't the Ryan Seacrest show, guys.
No, no. You're guaranteed to get at least three listeners. Me, Bird, and Mitch.
No, one of us will check out. I mean,
I don't listen to myself anymore.
Well, and I'm having my surgery coming up, so maybe that we can do a guest co-hosting slot with some of these people. So, anyway.
They could make more donations to the Mitch Beer Fund.
That's true. If I did leave you off, if you gave $100 and I did not mention you, please let me know, because I'm not saying I'm perfect. I could have missed someone.
What about me?
Mitch, I think you just gave $50. So I don't think you get to be on the podcast.
Sweet, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
I gave 50, you gave 50. I think Bird gave 50 or maybe more because you did a couple of donations.
I just did $225.
Okay, so I did not... The $50 reward was dancing with the capos. I missed the last game, so I'm out.
Well, I
did
have
you guys.
Well, Costin grinded on me at the tailgate when the DJ Red Bull showed up.
That definitely counts.
I think that counts.
So
we got our swerve on.
The other rewards were for like $25. Mitch would do Bird's voice on your voicemail, and for $20, Bird would do a voicemail, and $10, I would do a selfie with you. Honestly, if you really want to collect those rewards, we'll be glad to comply.
I told Pat Kelly I wouldn't even do an English accent on his. I'd say I was Australian. Like, good day, mate. This is
tell you what.
This is Matt Bird down under.
Listening to Martin French, you want to call Louisville and get that guy to do your voicemail. He's got the nicest Southern Irish accent. You know?
Southern Irish.
Southern Irish.
So anyway, thank you to everyone that contributed. This is amazing.
It is unbelievable. I mean, this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
And let me add, on Friday, we will be presenting the big giant cardboard check to the St. Louis Food Bank. We're going to be doing that at Soccer Park at 1 o'clock. If you're not working, if you're free, feel free to come by. We're going to take a few pictures. Have to do like kind of a smaller one for GoFundMe. But then we're going to do a group picture with
something to go to the USL. And
yeah, anybody that shows up, the St. Louis FC staff is going to be there. We're going to try to get a big picture with fans and the staff, because honestly, we couldn't have done this without all of St. Louis FC's resources retweeting it and them spreading the word. And you guys, even if you didn't financially contribute, but you reshared it on Twitter or Facebook or just gave us encouragement when we were doing this, you know, thank you to everybody.
So many people said, "Oh, my $5, $10 doesn't matter."
It definitely adds up. Yeah,
$5. That's 20 meals.
Yeah,
I mean, think, you know, not to be, you know, morbid for a moment, but if you're starving, that $5 fed somebody 20 meals. That's a week that somebody doesn't go hungry. That's amazing.
And I mean, you know, we've all given a buck to the homeless guy or whatever, but doing it through the food bank really maximizes your dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, so that $5 equals 20 meals. You know, even if you only gave a bucket, one of the tailgate, you know, bucket things, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Every bit adds up. And so often I'd see somebody just shoving a couple bucks in as they walked by. And, you know, it's an afterthought, but the impact is monstrous.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And again, we've done a couple charity things. We did the walk for the cure, race for the cure. Race for a cure, sorry. Don't sue me, Komen. Jen headed that up, and we've done food bank stuff with the charity games, and, you know, we're going to keep doing these charity things.
We donated a lot of stuff for the Tackers, nothing but nets.
Yep.
Yeah, and God love Malia, she bought some raffle tickets. you know, but, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a bigger and bigger part of what we do as we go forward, but honestly, guys, this blew me away. $13,000. That's crazy.
Everybody that's been involved in this is just blown away. In talking to one of the nameless Coopers, that, you know, I'm sorry, I was drunk. I don't remember your name.
Oh, you're not just choosing not to share their name. You
no,
don't remember
no, I,
their
I
name.
I genuinely don't remember the dude's name. He goes, he flat out said, "How the hell did you guys hit $13,000? How many corporate sponsors did you have?" And I said, "You know, granted, $5,000 is a ridiculous number there." But
I would throw out.
You can throw out maybe
Your Electric and Washington Tattoo, because they're just members that would have donated.
You're right.
But as far as people that we approached that we wouldn't, you know, that aren't Luligans.
Probably six.
One, two, three, four. Yeah, five. I mean, ITAP would have done something for us anyway, because they're our partner bar. I mean, only five donations from companies that were sizable donations that I was kind of surprised by.
Yeah, everything else was people like us, you know. And there were some companies that put in smaller amounts, and that's cool. But, you know,
But I'll say when Kavanaugh dropped in $5,000, that triggered a flood of other people giving, because it was like, oh, if our owner is that committed.
Yeah,
I can do another $20.
I mean, it was kind of neat to see after he did that. It poured in for a little while.
Yep.
And then when I said, hey, we're close to 50,000 meals.
Here came another wave.
We got another wave.
Well, it's funny because you and I were talking, saying, you know, if it gets close, we'll each put in another 25, 50 and make it so it's that nice, pretty number. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, we shot past that number.
Well, what's funny is we talked about that. Boy, if we get close to 5,000, I want to say we got 5,000. I'll throw in another 100 to get to 5,000. And it's like, well, we passed 5,000. If we could get to 7,500. Boy, I'll give another 25 to get us to 7,500. 10,000. I swear to God, if we get to 10,000, and it just kept going, and it was like...
It was amazing.
So it became a monster in and of itself. It became larger than
But it's a monster for good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the best part. I mean...
And you know what? And I'm not being funny. People look at supporters groups, and they just think you're a bunch of heathens.
Cursing and drinking and...
You know, you look at Wayne Rooney, right? You look at or any top level professional footballer, they take what they do for the bad. They yeah. maximize what they never see them going in hospital seeing kids with cancer. You never see that. And it's the same with supporters groups. People see us curse, people see us drink, people see us, you know, drop litter on the floor or whatever. They never see this side of the fence.
And I'm thankful, I'm lucky. We're all hashtag blessed to be a part of this. And I know Lindsay Toller from St. Louis Magazine is going to do a little thing on it. Hopefully we'll get picked up, you know, when we do the check presentation, to, you know, a couple other things just to get a little recognition. So people know not only do we have a hell of a good time and we do drink and we do curse and we do have fun at games, but yeah, we're all human beings and we all
live here.
We all have a vested interest in making
this town a better place.
Right. So thank you everybody who contributed, and you'll be hearing more because we'll bring it up on other podcasts when our guests are on. I mean,
yep. And that's the thing too. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own reason why they did what they did, and I'm curious to hear it. I mean, some will just say, "Yeah, I could afford it, whatever," but maybe somebody's got a personal story to interject.
Yeah,
or maybe they're just going to talk about, you know,
maybe they really wanted to talk about Final Fantasy on a podcast.
Yeah.
Which, well, and I mean, you know, we give. I mean, people always, you know, want to be guests on the podcast and whatever, and some of them actually took this opportunity to say, okay, I'll give $100 because I want to be a guest on the podcast, which,
there you go,
whatever your motivation to give was, I'm fine with it.
Knock yourself out.
So
Bird, it's going to cost you another $100 to keep doing this.
All right.
Actually, we're just trying out replacement hosts for me because I've been wanting to quit for about 4 years now.
In the words of your daughter, you are such a big pussy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm having back surgery, so
your daughter calls you.
Yeah, this is the last podcast I'll be on for a while. So,
oh no, we're gonna come down and do one from your house.
You're just like a player, just hobbling along to the end of the season. Yep. In the off season, they'll have that surgery.
I waited to have the surgery till after the season.
That
was
fantastic when you told me you scheduled it for after the season. I was so
and
proud
then
of you.
And then when I realized I should have done the surgery, and then I wouldn't have had to gone to that wedding. At least I'd be on the mend by now.
You should watch it in peace in the hospital.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's all I have. I just a big, huge thank you to everybody. And if you haven't gone to the website lately, Mitch wrote a very nice thank you to some of the people that have helped us throughout the season.
God, and I feel like I forgot.
Oh, I'm sure we forgot.
And I swear it's not an insult, but it's just there are so many people. I mean, you know, you think of everything that we do every day, and I won't name names because I don't want to embarrass myself, but, you know, you said, hey, you forgot so-and-so, add that to the, you know, before when I was in draft mode.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, how could I forget? But you realize we have so many good people that do so much good stuff every game.
And it goes back to, I always say, about our tailgates, about our game day. Some people think this happens by magic. But behind the scenes, there are a ton of moving pieces that get this stuff done, whether it's the tailgates or the capos or the drummers or whatever we're working on behind the scenes to make these things happen. And that's fine if you just come out to the games and you have a good time. That's definitely one way to experience it.
But if not, there's always a place for you. That's the other part, too.
But also appreciate, you know, it doesn't happen by magic. There's a lot of people that work hard. And, you know, we try to thank people, but your piece, I think, was good. I think you got most of them, but we, like you said, we will have forgotten someone, and tell us if we forgot you, and we'll add you to the list on the website. Because, I mean, honestly, you know.
You just can't. I mean, and again, there's so much to do. There's so much to be done, and people step up and say, how can I help?
Yeah,
and you know, and like Darian with the beer collection for the drummers and capos,
something little that it takes, you know, takes him, you know, 20 minutes a game probably to walk through the crowd, but he does it. He's owned that process, and I don't have to worry about it, or Mitch doesn't have to worry about it. And you know, it started with one game. He said, "I'll do that," and then he said, "You know what? I'll just do that every game."
Yeah,
and it's like, phew, you know. Problem solved.
And everybody knows who he is. I mean, it's a nice moment for him because he gets that recognition from everybody of, hey, that's what he does. And and you know, it's nothing really in the grand scheme of things, but it's huge.
It helps us all.
To everybody.
So
it was great. I mean, thank everybody so much. It's been an amazing year. And the best part is?
There's a year, too.
There's a year, too.
I can't wait.
And, you know, people have asked what we're going to do in the off season. We've got a whole list of things in addition to the traveling podcast, which we're going to do at the various sponsors. We've got a town hall meeting coming up sometime in October. Where Jim and Coach Dale and
Tom and Jeremy
Jim and everybody's going to be there to answer questions. That's going to be a Luligan event. We will do a live Q&A, and we'll probably release it as a podcast. We'll do probably a party for the MLS Cup Championship. We'll probably do a party for the USL Cup Championship.
The U.S. Men's National Team's
coming up in November.
That's
going to be huge.
That's the funny thing, is
you know, back last year, we had so much stuff to talk about in the off season, and it's just, I think this year is just going to be just as compounded and just as busy. And you know, we've got maybe a third kit coming out, player signing, season ticket events.
Andy will be working on the annual Christmas party with the Outlaws and the Luligans. Last couple of years, we've done a Christmas party together. So
the snowball game.
There'll be tons of stuff to talk about, and then as soon as you cross, you know, into January. The team starts having events for season ticket holders.
You know, we start talking about preseason friendlies and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So don't worry. We're going to have plenty of reasons to get together during the off season. We're going to have plenty of podcasts to keep you up to date on what's going on. And, it'll be here before you know it. I know we're all kind of, like, sad because the last game happened, but
it still seems so shiny and new. Yeah. I keep saying that. I mean, it just – the standing on the berm in the snow just seemed like yesterday.
Yeah, somebody posted that picture. Was it you that posted that picture the other day? And it was just like, you know, that was when we knew it was going to work. Because
that was the day.
I expected 12 of us hardcore people to be there.
There was 300 people.
People that I didn't know. And people were like, oh, you're the St. Luligans. We want to be a part of it. And you know what I mean? It was like, I think this is going to work, boys. I think if we can get 300 people to show up for a scrimmage game against a college in the snowstorm, we might have something here.
Hell, we even went to SIUE to root against Louisville when they played them in the
That's the other thing I do want to mention. We have been approached by at least 10 local colleges.
At least. Some several times by multiple coaches.
All of them very nice, very,
respectful and
appreciative of what we do for St. Louis FC. And asking if we'll come out and support College X or Y University or whatever. We would love to. Honestly, if we had infinite amounts of time and infinite amounts of energy, we would support, you know, as many as we could. But I think it would be unfair to pick one college over another to give anybody any preferential treatment, because we've got a lot of great local college soccer programs here. We also need an off season ourselves. Like I said, it doesn't happen by magic, and we put a lot of effort into what we do. And we've got wives and families, and the women that come out have husbands, and you got to give some time back to your family during the off season.
And also, if we start going to colleges, then you're going to get high school soccer coaches get hold of us. What I will say is, if you admired what's gone on down at Soccer Park this season, get some of your student body to get in touch with us and
definitely
have them come out to games and look and witness and talk.
And if they
to
have
us.
Questions about how we do things, or if they want advice on how to go about something, we're more than happy to plan to give advice, and also just to give publicity, to give a shout out on Twitter or Facebook to a local, you know, student supporter group.
Now there's every chance that I have a free Friday night and go and watch Sam's team at SIUE. But that's going to be my decision.
I think,
it's not going to be an organized event.
Definitely. You know? And we've got people who are alumni of the different schools who may go to SLU games or may go to Wash U games or Lindenwood. Like I said, Webster, there's tons of great programs in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So you will see Luligans at games, but it's not going to be a concerted group effort.
It's not going to be a Luligan event.
Right. Same goes with indoor. You know, we've got fans who are big, big fans of indoor. They'll go out to the games, but it won't be a Luligan group at any of the games.
And part of the thing, too, and this is what I was talking about with one of the coaches, is that it works because it's organic. it works because this is, you know, this is what we are into.
It's not a job. If I had to do it 24 hours a day for the whole season or the whole year, I'd burn out.
Yeah. And so, for example, like you said, you know, the students, they care. They care about their college. They care about their teams. They're the next generation. That's the ones that should be doing this. We can't do it for them. They have to do it on their own because we did it on our own. That's the way this works. You have if it's forced, you end up looking like, I don't know, FC Cincinnati.
Yeah. But we'll spread the word. We'll say, hey, there's a SLU supporters group you should join here, or there's, you know, a Lindenwood group, or, you know, like I said, so many good colleges. We'll give you a shout out. We'll help with advice if you, you know, have advice about anything, but we will not be going as a group to any specific college or any indoor team or anything like that. St. Louis FC is our main team. The Lions are our secondary team, and Fire and Ice is our women's team. We're going to try to, you know, focus our support around those three teams, but it's obviously most of it's going to be with the pro team with St. Louis FC. So that's the answer to that. But if you have any questions, please contact us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll go into it in more detail.
Another thing, the last couple of podcasts, we started having discussions about Dale. So today I quickly put up a poll on our Facebook, and it said, you know, given the last three games, is Dale the right guy for next season? Four people said no, 43 people said yes. So I just want Dale to know you got a big old vote of confidence there, sir.
Well, and
not that he was worried about what we thought, but I mean, you know, there was discussions that we were having, and I think the last three games really showed the potential of this team.
Yeah, and I mean, it always goes back to, like you said, you give a new coach, you're going to give him a couple years. Who are you going to get that's better? And, you know, there's, like I said, if Preki strolled through town and went up to Jim Cavanaugh and said, I'm looking for a job, you have that discussion. Or Thomas Rundgren, who was recently out of a job in Tampa Bay. I'm not saying you don't. You don't have that discussion. But I think Dale has, the last three games has proved enough to me that the team hasn't given up on him.
Yeah.
He does have a plan, and it can be successful. So
that was the big litmus test for me, was that are the team still playing for him? And they obviously are.
Yeah,
would have been easy to tuck their heads after the season they had and just coast out the rest of the season. But they fought and they won.
But I think that's a measure of the team that Dale and Jeremy built. That's their mentality. But also, do you want to touch on the fact that CONCACAF have changed the format of the Champions League to where it starts now in February and it'll finish in October?
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. Personally, I've just had the greatest summer of watching soccer in my life. I think we watch soccer in the summer here.
Yeah.
There are people that are saying, well, they're pandering to MLS, it'll help MLS. Well, I listened to World Football Phone-In on the BBC, and John Arnold made this great point, and he said, right now, the CONCACAF Champions League final is, what, May, June?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And then, traditionally, a Mexican team has won it. And that Mexican team, be it Tijuana, be it Monterrey, or whoever, they've got an entire transfer window where the team is absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
And then they go into the Club World Cup in November, or December, whenever it is, and it's not the same team.
Yeah.
This gives the Mexican teams chance to win the tournament and then play against Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, or whoever, with the same team that won the tournament.
Yeah.
So it's not all about pandering to MLS or whatever. Personally, I've just had a really good summer watching soccer. I think soccer in this country is played in the summer. And it's difficult to have two league systems where one's summer calendar and this other tournament is European calendar. So I think it makes sense.
And I mean, the whole thing with the Mexican leagues was, you know, they were in mid-season form when our players were in preseason form.
Right,
and,
yeah.
I mean, they have the Apertura and the Clausura. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they'll be fine wherever we shift it to, because the way their seasons break up, mm-hmm. this might make it a little more even in the competition. I mean, I still think MLS has a ways to go before they're competing evenly with the Liga MX teams. But like you said, you know, the great thing about soccer is we do have our summer soccer. And we're not missing any beats, and already the English season has started, and that's going to take over for a couple months for me. And then it'll be back into the American season. So it's like, I got soccer all year long.
Yeah, I spent in so many cold December nights on a terrace in Crewe or Blackpool or, you know, some shithole little town on the concrete terrace. And
Fenton.
Where, it's, you know, it's, you're just freezing your nuts off. And you, this summer season has been superb for me, and I think it's the way to go.
Well, also because it's been a mild summer.
Well, but also having the games at 7 versus 5 o'clock with the Lions.
Makes a world of difference.
You know, standing on the metal bleachers in the direct sun is much different than standing at night. I mean, it still may be 90 degrees, but it's...
The sun's not beating down on you.
Yeah.
By the time we made the march, it was usually already starting to wane a little bit. And so much better.
Great season.
Fantastic season. I've really, really had fun.
And it's only going to get better because, you know, Dale and Jeremy are going to learn from this season, and they're gonna tweak the team, and they're going to make it better. And, I mean, it's hard to say that it would have been any better if we'd have been winners, you know, and we had so much fun, you know, we're packing the stadium, you know, eventually they're going to have to expand the seating. But I mean, for me, I've loved every minute of it.
Even when we were out of playoff contention, we had a game. I jumped out of bed. I'm like, we got a game today.
Well, and you said something. Yeah. Like, you know, we'd have a shitty game where it would just be awful. And there were times when we were all pretty down on the field, but like you said, game day, I posted game day bitches, and it was ready to go. I mean, I was just as excited to go to the stadium. I was just excited to get together at ITAP and watch with my friends. You know, it never got old for me. So,
and then every once in a while, you know, we won one. And you're right back on that train.
Yeah.
You are right back on
hope
that train.
Hope springs eternal. Yeah. And
it's the hope that kills
you. All we got to do is go on an 11-game winning streak.
Just win out. You know, how many podcasts did we say? We got to win out from here.
There's 17 games left. If we win them all.
We only have to win or draw 7 games in a row. And then of those, we have to win.
You get out the whiteboard. You start doing the math. Well, now look, if Pittsburgh loses every single game, and Charlotte loses half of theirs, and we win all of ours, we're in. We're fine.
It ends up being like Goodwill Hunting, man.
Right, right. Then, okay, scratch scenario 365.
If X equals Y to the minus 4. So, yeah, fantastic season. I've really, really had fun. And the St. Louis sporting public at large has really done themselves proud.
I mean, to sell out for a team that was on a losing streak.
I think people really, really latched on to this team, and I can only imagine what it's going to be when we start winning. But
we'll be the hottest ticket in town.
And honestly, I'll give ourselves a little bit of credit. I think we made some of those games that weren't entertaining.
Yeah.
Props to St. Louis FC for showcasing us a little bit.
Absolutely.
But like I said, when Jeremy's like, you know, oh, we couldn't have done it without you, I'll take credit for the corner. We sold out the corner.
Yeah.
But you guys...
And we grew the corner, too.
Right.
I mean, people migrated to us.
But you know, 500 to 600 people packed into that corner. They sold the tickets to the rest of the fans.
Yeah.
And they kept them coming. I mean, we can entice the partiers with beer to keep coming, but...
We were going
to
come anyway.
They got the casual fans to come out. They got the casual fans to come back, and that is no easy feat when you're losing games. So,
no, not at all.
I mean, props to everybody up and down the St. Louis FC facility. I mean, Patrick Kelly and the rest of the ticket office, you know, the interns working their asses off, Andrew, you know, taking tickets at the gate. I mean, whoever I called with a question, they were more than willing to help me out and get a solution. So, you know, they did a lot of things right off the field, and we've been the beneficiaries of that.
I can't speak highly enough of of the organization. I mean, credit to Jeremy for even coming to us right at the beginning and having faith in us.
Well, and you know, I will say, not only him saying yes to us or giving us the benefit of the doubt or trusting us to handle our business, he also told us no, which, you know what I mean, is also a delicate balance of he knew when to say no.
No.
You know, so, I mean, it's kind of like you see a lot of front ownership groups promising the world and doing all this stuff and then, you know, backtracking later.
Yeah.
What Jeremy, you know, told us was what happened. So we trusted him and he trusted us. So
yeah, and that was the one thing too. And again, it was Liz again Saturday night, you know, for a lot of us to trust a Gallagher person was asking a lot.
AC St. Louis promised so many things and then the next week would say, you know, you can't ever do that again. But then they would feature us in their advertisements.
Doing
what they had just promised or told us we could never do again. Mm-hmm. St. Louis FC has been very upfront and very, you know, clear.
They treated us like partners.
Right.
And you know, that respect from the get-go made everything so much easier. It made us want to work better for them. It made them
They easy. Didn't use us, but they showcased us.
Yeah.
And the same with them. They let us do whatever we want as long as it didn't hurt the image of the team, and we respected that line.
But I also think we are also respectful of our own image at this point as well.
I agree.
We've come a long way. Even me, you know, in the last 3 years of coming to St. Louis, I've noticed that we're not, you're not the same group anymore.
We've learned lessons, and we've adapted to, you know, fit the situation. And when we were making mistakes, we learned from it. And not to say we still won't make mistakes and we still won't, you know, screw up occasionally, but I think we're all fairly on the same page of, you know, moving forward and doing what's right. So
next week we all kill Brad. We're all moving forward together, right?
Well, I'll be on enough pain pills so we can do, you know, my post-surgery. Maybe we can do it from the hospital room.
He'll get his wish of finally never having to do another podcast, though.
we'll share the...
He'll just be dead.
For as much as he bitches about it, though, he's damn good at it.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe
we'll
share the morphine pump.
Yeah, I'm in.
Hey, nurse, can we get a three-way IV going up here?
A couple splitter cables.
And I do want to say I am using Mercy Hospital because they're a sponsor of St. Louis FC. I had a choice between two hospitals. I chose the Mercy one because... you know, they support my club.
Was it St. John's?
No. I'm going Mercy South.
Oh.
See, I don't get that choice with my wife working for SSM.
Well, there you go.
That's the thing.
So, you know, on the way in, I'm going to stop and get my oil changed at Dobbs. And
drink
then
a Madrinas.
Drink a Madrinas and then...
while eating a G&W sausage.
I think I'll have to wait till after the surgery to have the sausage, but I can probably down a Madrinas before...
That'll be good for
the heart. Anesthesiologist is like, I've given him everything we've got, and he's still awake. I pounded a pint of Madrinas on my way in, Doc.
Well, that's when the second shift comes in.
There you go, yeah. I'm on my natural combination of uppers and downers.
It gets you back to zero.
All right, we've probably talked too long. So I'm going under the knife, so I may or may not ever speak to you again.
Oh, he will.
But my friends Mitch and Bird will be here to take care of you.
I don't want you to die. I just want you to get that locked-in syndrome where you can only, like, speak to us with blinks.
I want the Stephen Hawking voice module. Hello and welcome to This Is Silly. But no, here's the thing.
Do they have disabled parking spots at soccer park?
Oh, shit. I'll just keep bringing me my golf cart. I'll be fine. Here's what I want to say. I want to say it on the mic. I've told you this, Mitch, personally. If I die, I don't want, like, the supporter stand named after me or anything. What I want is the Brad Porta Potty Pavilion. I want my name over that bank of Johnny's behind Section 8.
See, I was thinking he was going to say something about his wife. But, you know, porta potties, we can go.
You can take care of my wife. But I'd also Brad Porta Potty Pavilion.
Absolutely. The handicapped one will be.
The handicap. Yeah. Just give me the handicapped porta potty.
That will be the, you know.
Put like a wooden carved Luligan plaque over the door and just say Brad's porta potty.
Do you know what a sink?
Oh.
The sink's there, too. It does have a sink there.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have the sink. I'd rather have the sink. Yeah.
The whole area, it's all about you. Yes. The whole area is about
you. Give me one of those European outdoor urinals where you don't really go inside.
Yeah, where you just step up to it.
Where you just, you know, like three guys can use it at the same time. You're just kind of leaning on the plastic there. That's what I want. I don't know. Just something to do with evacuating your bladder is what I would like named after me. I don't need a scarf. I don't need a TIFO. Just name a porta potty or a sink after me.
Right. We're done.
Yeah.
I think okay. I got it. All
right. Last will and testament right there.
There it is.
You heard it. It's on recorded. This is silly.
It's official. So on that note, everybody have yourselves a good week, and we'll talk to you in two.
Bye.